Welcome to Designing Growth, the podcast that helps owners and founders create the business of their dreams by thinking critically about the most important and often most challenging aspect of growing an agency, client relationships. From first proposal to final delivery, the founding team of Motion.io will share their own experiences alongside that of guests to help you market your services better, complete projects faster, and exceed client expectations at every step of the way. So, let's get it moving. Happy Thursday, everybody, and welcome back to Designing Growth. We have a fantastic episode for you today. Very excited to welcome on our first guest to the podcast that's outside of the company, outside myself or Perry. Today we have Megan Gersh joining us. Megan is a branding and marketing unicorn that has been in the field for over 15 years, and she has worked with some of the most well-known names in the entertainment industry: Netflix, Spaceland Presents, KCRW Radio, Live Nation, and more. She also co-hosts a podcast called the Your Sparkly Brand Podcast, which is a show designed to empower entrepreneurs with the tips, tools, and strategies needed to make their businesses stand out from their competitors. I had spoke with Megan last week, and I was so excited to be able to meet with her because a lot of the things that we're doing and that we're talking about on this show, she talks about on her own show. So without further ado, Megan, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Thank you so much. I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
We had spoke about a week ago, and you were telling me a little bit about your background, which I thought was really interesting. I'd cover some of that in the introduction, but can you just tell us a little bit about your career journey from the entertainment industry to where you are now, you know, being your own business owner?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a strong background in the music industry specifically. Right out of college, I got really lucky and got a job at Live Nation. So I was doing graphic design for like all of these huge artists, Lady Gaga and Justin Bieber, and just craziness, things that you could never imagine being straight out of college. So I got very lucky in that regard. Decided to move out to the West Coast. I wound up getting a job in radio out here in Los Angeles at KCRW Radio, and I was an interactive producer there. So basically, I was handling all of the website projects, the apps that they handled, as well as like any graphic design needs and promotions that we had going on at the station. After that, I became a creative director for a few music venues here in Los Angeles. We also did a few music festivals as well. And then eventually it just came to the point where like I had freelance going on this entire kind of length of my career. I had a full-time job from 9 to 5, and then I would come home and work on freelance projects until like I went to bed, basically. And so there just became a point where I was like, I can't keep doing both of these. It felt like just the right time to take the leap and take a bet on myself to do my business full time. And I've been doing it for 4 years now, so something's working.
Yeah, I love it. And wow, some of the artists that you had worked with at Live Nation, that is wild. So where were you before you moved out to the West Coast?
So I was based in Richmond, Virginia. The office that I was working in was actually right outside of Charlottesville. I lived in Charlottesville for about a year or so. And then I moved to Richmond, Virginia, which is where I'm from originally. But yeah, it was a small company called Music Today that literally like a week or two after I started there, they got bought by Live Nation. And so it was the progression of watching that transform from a small company into like basically a corporate behemoth. Quite the transformation.
I think seeing experiences like that, you know, firsthand, when I had a chance to observe that in my own career, really pushed me into wanting to work with small companies or either be a founder or a co-founder. And that's ultimately part of what led me here to Motion.io, is that drive to create something out of nothing, but create something that's yours and that you control and it's your destiny. So I really resonated with that part of your story. You had talked a little bit about sort of your journey where you were working full time, you know, 9 to 5, and then you'd come home and start working on your, at that time, it was a side project, I guess you would call it. Where was the point that you said, I'm ready to jump ship? And how did you feel at that point? Was it something that required a lot of hard decisions to go into that? Or was this something that you said, hey, this is great, it's time to go full time into my own business?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that I had thought about a while before I actually went through with it. And I think when I realized, like, okay, I literally have a daytime job and a nighttime job, basically, between the two, that's when I really realized that the demand was there. I also, before I jumped ship at my 9-to-5, did a course where I essentially learned all the different ways that you could make money as a freelancer or entrepreneur. I didn't know what a funnel was at that time. I learned what a funnel was and how you can grow your email list and stuff like that. I took this basic entrepreneur 101 type course. I was going to my 9-to-5 and I would find myself on my lunch break watching these course lessons, eating my salad in the park and being like, oh my God, what can I learn today? I should have known that that was going to happen sooner than later, just because, like, I was making time to learn all of these things so that, you know, I would be prepared when I really jumped ship and made that jump into entrepreneurship. And, you know, it was really scary. The beginning of any business, I think a lot of people will resonate with this, can be terrifying. You have no consistent money or paycheck. There's a lot of unknown factors when you first start your business. And I think, like, one of the hardest things too is to figure out, how do I get clients? Because when you have a job, that's almost done for you, right? There's usually a sales team that's going out getting the business. And then, you know, especially somebody in my position as a creative, you kind of just execute on whatever they've sold, right? And so there's a lot. I mean, it's a lot of things to learn about yourself. When you're running a business, you have to wear all the hats too. All the accounting, all of the marketing, every single little thing that happens in a business, you have to learn to do all of that. So it's a lot of learning. It's very scary. But you know, if you push through those first year or two kind of hard periods, and there will be ups and downs, it can be really worth it.
What you had shared about how you were actively making time to work on your business, despite all of the other things you had going on, a full 9-to-5, that to me is always my signifier of, like, hey, it's time to make this my full-time thing. Because if you are that driven to learn, to grow, you will be successful if you stick with it, in my opinion. You stick with it for long enough and you have the proper strategy in place. But wanting to provide yourself with the skills that you need to make that happen, I think, is the biggest first step to launching any sort of business.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is quite the learning process. And even now, I learn things all the time and I'm constantly pushing myself to learn new skills, to keep up with the latest marketing tools and all of that kind of stuff. So yeah, I mean, it just never stops. It's one of those things where you're just constantly improving.
What are some of your favorite tools and resources out there right now that you are using to sort of up-level your skills?
Ooh, for up-leveling, I mean, YouTube is honestly a goldmine. I mean, you can learn anything you want from YouTube. As far as, like, up-leveling my business, repurpose.io is amazing. It's basically a tool that you can create on one platform and then automatically, like, port your content over to other platforms. Descript is a really amazing tool as well. So that's a tool that you can use to drop in your video content and it can transcribe everything.
And I gotta say, actually, thank you for showing me repurpose.io, because I was on TikTok earlier doing some stuff for the Motion account and I saw your video come up about that. And I'm like, oh, I need to use this. This looks amazing.
Yeah. It is really a game changer. Definitely takes some time to, like, set up in the beginning, but once it's set up and it's rolling, it is just such a game changer.
Because I have been wanting to get some of our TikTok videos onto YouTube as YouTube Shorts. Your post on TikTok was, like, exactly what I was trying to do and figure out on my own. Could not have come at a better time.
It's such an amazing tool. Highly recommend.
What are your tips, or what might your advice be for thinking about sales and marketing as a part of your business and crafting a strategy around that?
I mean, it all goes back to, like, who's your target customer, right? Figuring out who you want to speak to and how your service is going to uniquely serve that person. And then once you have that nailed down, you need to figure out, okay, this is my target person. Where are those people hanging out online? A lot of the beginning of my business journey, I was doing a lot of cold outreach. I was doing, like, a lot of me going to other people to try to get those leads and get those sales. Fortunately, now it's kind of flipped for me since I found TikTok. I started creating TikTok content in 2020, as a lot of millennials did in the pandemic. And it just completely changed the entire landscape of my business. It's just been crazy.
I'm really interested to dive into TikTok and talking about some of your strategies there, because from what I've seen, the growth that you've had on the platform is enormous. That cold outreach you mentioned, what was your general strategy that you were using for cold outreach? Because I think that cold outreach is something that can feel uncomfortable and it's really hard to do. But I think that, at least in my opinion, it's sort of a necessity for businesses who are early on in their growth. What were the strategies that you were using for cold outreach when you first started?
So I was doing good old-fashioned email outreach, and also I was doing a lot of outreach on LinkedIn. And so, you're totally spot on. It can feel super uncomfortable when you're first starting, and you really have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable and also with getting no's in your business, just because it's going to be a whole lot more no's than yeses. As far as like the strategy goes, this is something that I learned from that course that I mentioned earlier on, is cold emailing was a part of that as a way to get clients. And essentially it just really taught, like, you know, the money's in the follow-up. You have to follow up a number of times before you might hear back from people. And also to just approach it as you try to do in all of your marketing, where you're really just trying to help people with your product or service or whatever you're trying to offer. And it should be less of a sales process and more of a conversation, trying to, number one, get somebody's attention, personalizing it enough to show them that you've actually put in some effort to get to know their background a little bit, and then just softly being like, do you need any help with X, Y, or Z, and kind of going into it that way. But yeah, I mean, cold emailing is like, it's effective. It just takes time and energy, and it takes persistence with it.
And wow, you are speaking my language right there. When you had said the money's in the follow-up, make it a conversation. Those are two sales rules that I personally live by. I'm not a type of person who likes to be pushy when it comes to sales, and I don't think you should be. I think as long as you know, as a business owner, your value, the value of the services you provide, you shouldn't have to be pushy. You should be able to tell somebody the facts, make it a conversation, and if they've reached out to you or you're reaching out to them, at some point, people are going to be attracted to that.
I feel like there's a lot of people out there that really push the pushy sales tactics, and I'm just like not about that vibe. Here's what I can offer you. Here are my capabilities. If you want to, you know, have a conversation about working together, great, let's do it.
I had a sales team that I was also leading, and when there were times where we maybe pushed somebody to buy, not like being pushy, but somebody bought who maybe shouldn't have, those can often end up to be clients that are not a good fit anyways, where somebody who's really excited, they're asking you questions, they're asking you to speak with previous customers, and they're really engaged in that process. Those are going to be your best customers. They've done their research. They want to know more from talking to you, and that'll be a great business relationship.
Yeah, exactly. 100% agree.
It's interesting to think about as well, the way that you generate business can flip after a certain point. And I love that example, how you shared that you were doing these, you know, cold outreach initiatives, which are important and really vital to success. And I think at a deeper level, make you a more comfortable and confident business owner. But at a certain point, there can be that flip. And it's something I've seen in a couple of different businesses that I've worked with, where you're generating so many, what I call them, is inbound leads, that you don't have to do these cold outreach campaigns anymore. And you can at least dial it back because you have more business than you can take on. And it's something that's really exciting. But I think a mistake that newer business owners can sometimes make is thinking that those kind of inbound leads can come in when you just open your doors. And I think your experience is a great one to share, just because it's proof that growing a business doesn't happen overnight. It takes work. It takes a lot of hard work. It takes a lot of learning how to be uncomfortable. I also loved that you had shared that. Maybe that'll be the title of this episode. But once you get it and things start clicking, things also start getting easier at a certain point. You know, there will probably be other things that become harder as you go. But I thought that trajectory was really interesting that you shared.
nothing great is built overnight. It's so interesting with TikTok too, just because I feel like they've built up this expectation that virality is just like poof, celebrities are made overnight, or like influencers or whatever you want to call them. But the reality is, like, most of these people have been grinding, putting in the effort and trying different things and failing a ton of times and getting those no's and all of that for like years most of the time. So, you know, it just takes time.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. And with TikTok specifically, I had saw this video the other day where it was a snippet of a podcast. I saw it on TikTok. It was these two people talking to each other, and one of them had said that he had posted 88 individual TikTok videos before he had one get above 10,000 views, which I thought was just really illustrative of this kind of journey and the grind that it can sometimes be.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly.
To dive a little bit more into TikTok, because I said that we were going to circle back around on this, can you maybe walk me through when you started posting on TikTok to where you are now with the platform?
Yeah, definitely. So I watched TikTok content for a long time before I started creating. And I originally started creating content around artwork that I make. So I just make art as a hobby. I do like painting, drawing, digital illustrations, all kinds of things. And I was at first, I was like, oh, this might be like a fun way to like get my artwork out there. Again, this was like in a time in my business where I was just trying a bunch of different stuff. Started out creating that type of content. I wasn't really doing a whole lot. And then one day I just had an idea. I was like, why don't I just start talking about my business a little bit more on here and see if that does anything? Because like at the time, there weren't a lot of educational creators on TikTok. It was like very, very few, and also very, very few marketer kind of style people on the platform. And so I started talking about website design, and I started doing these website reviews on my page where I would basically just made a post being like, anybody want me to take a look at your website? I'll take a look at it and I'll give you like a few tips.
Genius.
And it was just, that post just got a ton of engagement. And so I started doing these website reviews as video replies to people. And I would just pull up their website on my computer, point the phone at the computer and be like pointing at the different things that they could change on their website and give, you know, 3 or 4 tips in a TikTok video, like a 20-second video. And then one of those videos is the one that like was my first mini viral video. And I will never forget that day. I was on the way to my in-law's place and I was like, oh my God, I think one of my videos is like taking off. I'm like in the car. I'm like,
oh my gosh, I
don't know what's happening.
It's amazing.
That is when I very much pivoted into like, this is going to be my business account. And yeah, the rest is, I mean, is history. I mean, I've been making content on TikTok for 2 years at this point. So
incredible. The website reviews, and I couldn't get over that. It's such a genius idea. I love it. I had used to do something like that, but it was sort of longer form. It was not TikTok ready. But I used to hold these webinars for my last web design agency, Brighter Vision, where we would bring people on. We'd look at their websites. You know, there'd be 100 people on there. We'd review them in real time. But it wasn't this sort of easily digestible content. It was reflective of marketing ages past, where it seems like now everything is so catered towards short form video content. That's the way it's all going. And that's why I love that you were able to do these quick videos where you're providing tips. So you're providing a ton of value, but also education to anybody else who happens to be watching that. It's amazing. You being an expert on the platform and being on it, I think a lot longer than I have been. I didn't even consider the fact that there weren't that many educational content creators at that time, or marketing and design content, let alone. It seems like you nailed the timing.
Yeah. I got really lucky. And like, there were a lot of people that kind of like sprung up in the pandemic that really rode that wave. I think it's definitely different now than it was 2 years ago. And like the landscape of like how quickly you could grow on the platform. There are a lot of other creators that leaned really heavily into the trends that were like edutainment kind of style creators, and that have like huge accounts because of it. But yeah, like the website reviews were this crazy little idea that kind of took off. I've since kind of like steered away from that a little bit, but yeah, that's the story of that.
Amazing. And for the people listening to this episode, I wanted to pick your brain about some of your TikTok strategies, even for myself too, because I gotta admit, I am running our Motion.io account, and it is a totally new experience for me. I had in high school and college done like some video editing, but I am quickly realizing that I was a little bit too confident going into it because TikTok is a whole different ballgame. So I'd love to know just, you know, maybe your top three or four strategies for producing content that gets engagement on TikTok.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, there's definitely like technical strategies where you like need to learn how to like structure your content, hook, build up, you know, value, call to action. And then there's also like softer kind of skill strategies. TikTok is very much set up for you to be speaking to camera, for you to really be able to stand out as a person to people. People need something, some kind of visual or personality kind of indicator where they say, like, I really connect with that person. For me, like, I am the purple-haired marketing chick that, like, hands out all this value on TikTok. Figure out what that signature thing is for you. And I think, like, honestly, a lot of people, especially in the educational realm, like, forget to have fun with it. There was a point in my content where every single video that I was putting out, I was like, okay, what tip or trick or like whatever can I give in this video? I got bored with it. So I really had to essentially take my strategy and really reevaluate what I was doing. And that's when I started to integrate more trends into my strategies, started trying out some storytelling type content, and just tried to like switch it up for myself, just because I was feeling like if I kept heading down this one road of just like tip, I was just going to get burnt out. People can be tip robots all day long. Like, people can go to Google and find out this information, right? You have to figure out a way to keep it fun for yourself and also like integrate your personality. And that's what's really going to draw people to you on the platform.
And that's definitely a lesson that I can personally pull from. Something I struggle with is bringing my personality into the content sometimes, because I'm used to business content and social media related content being, you know, kind of dry and boring. Mm-hmm. A question I wanted to ask you, though, is do you feel within the last couple years that the sort of culture of business is becoming maybe a little bit more, not necessarily casual, but personal, and you're able to kind of show who you are within your business's content?
Yeah, definitely. I think especially after the pandemic, people are really craving that personal connection. People are much more like want to see the humans behind the brand and get to know, like, why did you start this company? Is there something specific that happened in your life that like drove you to, you know, do XYZ. They want to connect with people that have similar values to them as well. You'll notice in some of my content, I will say sometimes like polarizing things, and that's on purpose to like force the wrong people away from me and to draw my people to me. It's interesting what you brought up about like the business landscape getting to be a bit more casual. I'm personally trying to only work with that type of person. So like, even if the quote unquote business world isn't getting more casual, I'm only going to be working with these people over here who are cool and chill and like, you know what I mean? Like, so it's all about who you want to attract.
And that's something that I think is so cool, especially with platforms like TikTok, is the discoverability that you can be that specific and you can say, hey, I want to work with these types of people and I don't want to work with these types of people. So it's okay that I put out content that pushes them away because I know that I'm still able to reach the people that I want to connect with, that I want to work with.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That algorithm specifically is so powerful and it's really, really good at putting you in front of the right people.
The fact that I can go on the TikTok and search something as specific as web and brand designer and pull up people with design agencies of their own who are producing content about design agencies was like mind blowing to me. For the complete polar opposite, hopped onto Instagram to try that same search and nothing. It was all like large brands or like pieces of software to help web and brand designers. Where on TikTok, it was people speaking personally about their business. And I love that. And that was actually the way that I quickly found you, because, you know, with what we're doing here at Motion.io and the product we're building, we're really looking to get people's feedback on the product. So I have to do a little bit of that cold outreach myself because we don't have an audience at this time. And thank you so much for sharing all those phenomenal TikTok tips. To quickly recap it, some of the things that you covered were, you know, pay attention with the format, but also experiment with the format. And don't be afraid to make it fun, I think would be my key takeaways. Anything else to add there?
Yeah, I mean, keep in mind, like, why do you open the TikTok app? Like, you go there to be educated or entertained, most likely, or to escape whatever, you know, your Slack that's been open for the last few hours or whatever. So you're going to be distracted, right? Like, you're opening the app to be distracted. And so what would you want to see? Take note the next time that you open the app, what videos you actually watch to the end. Those are the types of videos that are keeping your attention. So see how, if you can take any clues from those content pieces.
I love that advice. And when I think about the types of videos that I watch, it like even gives me ideas for videos that I want to create. Thinking about things that I might only watch 2 seconds of versus things that I watch all the way to the end. It's phenomenal advice. With that, I wanted to talk a little bit just generally about what's currently going on with your business. I know you have a couple components to it where you have a web design business, but then you also do, I think, coaching and consultation on the side. Can you tell me a little bit about what you're working on currently?
Yeah, definitely. So right now I'm working on a few different website templates, which will essentially become like a passive income side of my business. So excited to launch those in Q4. I've also been working closely with a high-level business coach, and I'm essentially redoing my service offering and going to be rebranding myself in Q4. So everything is about to change. It's still going to be web design and branding, but I'm really refining my offerings to kind of push towards a different audience. So we'll see how that goes. I'm going to be documenting everything on TikTok. So it's in the plans to make it like a series where like I just take you along with me as a brand designer who's rebranding.
Wow, that is going to be really cool. And I will definitely be following along. Are you doing the brand redesign yourself?
Yep.
For the website templates, how are you creating those? Like, what are they for? Squarespace? Are they for WordPress? Like, what platform are they on? How are you doing that?
I'm actually using a platform called Showit. Does use WordPress for the blog component of them. I just started using this platform kind of as an experiment. I saw a few TikToks about how flexible it was, and I was like, I gotta try this out. I'm like such a nerd about that kind of stuff. But I tried it out, and it just gives you a lot of design freedom when it comes to web design. And so for me, it's perfect because there's no coding involved. It's pretty much just like drag and drop, and you can still apply like all of the kind of technical components, like all of the H1, H2 headers, all of that kind of good stuff. But yeah, it just provides a lot more design flexibility than you would normally get from another platform. So I've been experimenting with that a little bit. We'll see how the launch goes. And I'm pretty excited with how the templates are turning out.
That's very cool. And once those templates do get launched, let me know, because we'll definitely include those in the resources for this episode. With Showit, is it still like the classic WordPress admin area as well? Or is that completely different if you're in the back end?
No, it's completely different. Wow. Showit is like this like standalone platform where that's where you control all of your pages. Only your blog posts would be hosted in WordPress.
Very interesting. Yeah, it's something that I have been hearing about a little bit, but this is the first time I've actually talked to somebody who was using it. So don't mind me. I also kind of nerd out on that stuff. So pardon the technical questions.
Oh, yeah. When I started using it, I was like, oh, this is different. And then I like really got into it, and I was like, oh, this is like a game changer.
Wow.
So
I just built our motion.io site on WordPress. If I had known about this sooner, I would have loved to try something new, because I'm the same way. Any kind of new technology, new thing that I can use in the business, I'm like, let me get my hands on it. I want to use this. So
yeah, for sure.
Well, that about wraps it up for this episode. Thank you, Megan, so much for sharing all of your great tips, your journey. Hugely helpful for me, and I think a lot of other people in the audience who are, you know, at various stages of your business. One question I wanted to ask you, I know you had worked in the music industry. Top three musical acts of all time.
To work with?
Work with or listen to, whichever direction you want to take it.
Okay, well, let's go with listen to, because okay. I don't want to like, you know, choose favorites when it comes to clients. Let's go with listen to. I'm a huge Radiohead fan. I love anything Tom York related. I'm
Very
seeing
cool.
him twice in December coming up, so I'm super excited. Yeah, I mean, other than that, I love LCD Sound System. Let me see what else. I mean, I feel like after we record this, I'm going to be like, why didn't I say that? I'm just like I'm a huge music fan. I don't know. I listen to a lot of ambient stuff, honestly, throughout the pandemic to kind of calm my mind and get me through. So
love it. Love it. I myself am a bit of a jam band person, you know.
Oh, cool.
Grateful
nice.
Dead. But then on the flip side, there's also things like Black Sabbath. So I grew up in Pennsylvania going to dirty basement metal shows. So.
Oh, awesome. That's awesome. I actually did in college. I was like working with a friend. They had like a jam band music festival that we worked on together. So definitely familiar with that scene a little bit.
Very cool. Very cool. I also do like Radiohead. Fake Plastic Trees, is that's the song? It was like the mm-hmm. first song I learned on the guitar.
Oh, so, nice.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Thank you again so much for taking the time to join us for the episode. This has been amazing. Anything else to add before we sign off here for the day, Megan?
I don't think so. I mean, thank you so much for having me on. This is so fun to chat, and I would love to hang out on another podcast sometime.
Absolutely. And if you're interested in any of Megan's content or her work, we will be including all of the links to that in the show notes, along with her TikTok account, a direct link to her website. So go ahead and check those out. But until next time, everybody, this has been another episode of Designing Growth. See y'all next week. Take care.